take me down, spin me around. You got me running all the lights. Don't make a sound, talk to me now. Let me inside your mind. Don't know what you're thinking, sugar. Ooh. But I just got that feeling, sugar. Ooh. And I can hear the sirens burning, red lights turning. I can't turn back now.
So hold on tight. Sports Talk in the Berg, coming at you live from RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. Wow, my levels are bad. Let me fix that. As I was saying, Sports Talk in the Berg, we got our normal crew with us again. Ian Kist, Colin Wilson, and Sam Anthony along with me. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about. But, contrary to popular opinion, we're gonna talk about a sport that's barely in season right now, which is baseball. I mean, the World Series starts tonight, Matt Harvey.
Put that away.
Put that Kansas City Royals hat away and bury it somewhere.
They're going to win in five.
Ooh, that's a bold prediction.
Kansas City
they
in
really
five?
They really want it, yeah. They don't want last year to happen again. Looks like they're very determined. Tough series against the Blue Jays, but yeah. Mets are going to be tough. I don't think the Mets are ready. I think the Royals are ready, and they're going to win in five.
Care to...
I think you're wrong. I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to say Mets in five.
I like
whoever wins today's game.
I don't know. I'm saying
I think the Mets are going to struggle.
Why do you say the Mets are going to struggle? Hey, David or Daniel Murphy?
Daniel Murphy.
Daniel Murphy keeps hitting. If he keeps in home runs,
yeah,
it's been.
I don't
crazy
think he will
this
though.
Offseason.
But I don't know. I just think the Mets' lack of experience. The Royals, majority of that team's been there.
But that's what they said about the Royals last year, and they still went to seven games.
That's true.
I mean,
but
I don't really think.
Win.
But seven, I mean, like, they easily could have won. You could argue situations where, I know, it in the end it matters who won.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there were a lot of other things that went in place in the end of that game, in game seven, that, you know, the Royals could, I mean, it wasn't like they got blown out in any of those situations.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'll go Kansas City. They've been consistent all year. They've been a good team.
How many games?
I'm going to go six.
All right.
I think New York will give them a great matchup. I think Kansas City will win tonight, and that's why they go and win in six. But if New York wins tonight, it'll go seven, and then that's a toss-up game.
I'm saying Royals in seven.
Quick question. Are you guys strong believers in the winner of game one has the upper hand?
Yes. No, I have. I think that has nothing to do with it.
Same.
Really.
Because you get, like, proven before teams are up 3-0. And then they lose.
Well, I mean, sure. You can say that.
Saying like it happens all that like.
But anything's possible.
But I think
like
a lot of teams think that because your best pitcher typically goes in game one. If you're talking baseball.
You can argue that. I mean, they have all these stats like, whoever wins, whichever team wins game one is blah blah percent more likely to win the series than the other team.
Well, there's
team.
Percentages for every
right.
Like if a team's up 2-1, if a team's up 1,
the winner
of
game
one.
3 has gone on to win the series blank percentage.
There's stats
of times.
For everything and they throw percentages at you because it always seems better, but it's like the team that's up 2-0 wins, let's say won the past 100 times or something. Like, is that number good or is that number bad? So they always throw percentages at you. Well, they won the past, like they have a 60% chance over their opponent. Well, then that number is pretty big.
I mean, but you always think about it. I mean, a team that's up 2-0 is always going to be more likely to win, you know, 2 games compared to the team that's going to have to win 4.
But then the other team comes out and they're like, okay, let's go. We don't want to be embarrassed. And sometimes that drives the other team.
Yeah.
Well, it's unfortunate the Pirates didn't get to play in this series. Shifting topics a little bit.
I mean, it makes sense, right? Since we're sports talking the Berg.
Right.
Right.
I mean, we acknowledge the national media sometimes and the national sports, but and as we will later in the show. But we want to talk about, first and foremost, what do the Pirates need to do this offseason in order to get back to the playoffs and get further than the wild card game and the NLDS?
Anyone but Pedro Alvarez at first base. Anyone.
Agreed.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also to find a shortstop that's consistent. Like, they have a consistent shortstop.
Okay,
well,
all right.
I think that's going to be Gong, but
He's going to miss time.
But, well, me and Zach were talking about this.
Best case scenario, he gets back by opening day, because that would be 8 months. And that has been usually the cases that have progressed well have come back in 8 months. Mm-hmm.
Are they going to – they're probably going to limit his playing time until they see that he is back to Jung-ho status of a year ago, and that he can be – that his knee – that he's healthy enough and his knee can stand playing every day and having, you know, one day off here and there every few weeks.
And the interesting thing with that is, you know, you could sit there and be like, all right, well, it's a long season. You know, got to get in. But you look at that division, you know, we fall behind the Cubs and the Cardinals early because we don't have Jung-ho Kong. Yeah. And, you know, you're going to have like last year. Yeah, this year.
Yeah, that is very true.
They fell. But
very true.
My comment on the Pedro situation, I think they're going to make one trade this offseason, and it's going to be a big name. It's going to be they're going to trade Neil Walker, or they're going to trade – Pedro and like some other fill-ins.
But who would you get for that? That we can sit here and say, trade Pedro, or trade
no
Walker. But
yeah.
But honestly, who is going to
an AL team would probably take him for his bat.
For the DH.
For
position.
DH. So yeah, I don't know, but they're gonna probably throw in a minor league.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta give up a
prospect or minor league.
Yeah.
And then a few scrubs, but the guy I want, we're not going to get because Arizona's not going to give him up.
You want Paul Goldschmidt?
Oh, my.
He's always in.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Everyone wants Paul Goldschmidt.
Dream scenario, yeah. Paul Goldschmidt for Pedro Alvarez straight up. I'll take
that deal.
Apparently,
they were looking at him this trade deadline, but they're not going to give him Arizona's not going to give him up.
No, never.
There's not a chance. Not a chance.
He's the one piece in that team that actually, like, you can build on.
But he's been there for a little bit now, and they could be a team that, like the Pirates did, trade away your best player and
the only
build from your farm system.
The only time you have a chance to get Goldschmidt is in a contract year near the trade deadline, and
that's
Arizona's like 10 games below 500.
That's why I think they're going to trade Neil and keep Pedro. One, I think Neil Huntington and the Pirates front office, they love Pedro. For some reason, they love Pedro, but
it's because he's a homegrown guy. That's why they've continued to stick with him, and that's why they probably
Walker,
will continue to stick with him.
He's go into his last year in his contract, so they may not want to. Because last time they were in a little pickle with him, I think it went to arbitration, and they may not want to get themselves in a situation like that again.
Well,
so
they're going into arbitration with Pedro, though.
Yeah, but I think they're going to definitely come to an agreement with Pedro.
All
right. Easier than they would Neil Walker.
Here's where they stand with free agents right now. Players that don't have a salary at this moment. You got Joe Blanton, who was a miracle worker out of the pen. They need to get him back for long relievers now that Vance Worley is gone for good. Thank you. Thank whoever let him go.
He wasn't that bad. Joe Blanton came in and took over his spot, but
Joe Blanton is Vance Worley, but a lot better.
Yeah,
that's basically it. And then you got Bobby Lafrenboise, who's still on his rookie deal, so he won't be able to. He can test the market probably, but he won't get much attention there. So they'll probably sign him to a minimum deal. You got Elias Diaz again, rookie contract. They'll get him back. They'll sign him for a low deal. You still got Chris Stewart on the books for $1.25 million for next year. You still have Pedro on the books for $5.75 million, and let's see, Neil Walker is on the books for $8 million next year.
Ugh.
So you have to think, and Aramis Ramirez's $14 million is going to be off the books once the year's over, because he's retiring. Of those players, I don't see a team taking on, besides an AL team, I don't see a National League team taking on either of those two contracts for what kind of players that they are. Maybe Neil Walker, but we don't know what these minor league players that the Pirates have in AAA right now, the guys of the future, quote-unquote, are going to do. It's like we had a couple years ago that we had the same situation where Starling Marte and Gregory Polanco and Garrett Cole and Jamison, all these guys were still at like the AAA, AA level, and we didn't really know what was going to happen. And at the trade deadline in 2012, I believe, everyone wanted to trade Starling Marte for Hunter Pence. I don't think anyone at this moment would say, you know what, if they would have done that, I'd be okay with it. Because the Astros right now would have had Starling Marte in left field. They probably would be in the World Series right now. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind about that. Because if you have an arm like that in the weird outfield that Houston has, my goodness, there'd be a lot more outfield assists than he had with the Pirates this year.
The Pirates have always been more successful when they've built from the people they have in their organization. You know, they've tried so many trades in the past, and more than anything, you've just seen it not work. And I know they usually try to cheap out and kind of get guys that could be good, but I just would have more faith in the Pirates if they tried to build somebody within the organization, because you're not giving up anything for it. And yeah, I mean, I just don't have faith in Neil Huntington to make a trade. That's really it.
His hands are also tied with the front office, the owners, Frank Coonley and Bob Nutting.
Yeah.
I think Huntington would like to do a lot more, but those two override him. Yeah. And in my eyes, they're not going anywhere, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But if they weren't the owners, you would see this team managed a lot different. I know Mark Cuban wanted to buy this team a few years back, but Nutting wants to keep it for his son or his kid, who was like 5 at the time. But like, they're not really baseball based minds.
Yeah.
So they prevent a lot of trades from happening. A few years back, Huntington had a deal in place for Stanton, but obviously, and the Marlins GM wanted to do it, but their owner said no. So,
do you know who was going to be involved in that deal?
I don't know for sure.
Because it would have taken a lot.
Yeah, I would imagine who would be in that trade.
Plus, Giancarlo Stanton is making he's making the most money of any player in the National League.
Yeah, we couldn't afford that contract.
No.
No way. Miami can't afford that contract.
The Pirates would have had him for about a year and a half and then said, oh, let's trade him away now that we have – because they would have had Polanco to deal with.
Uh-huh.
And Polanco probably would have been part of that trade, most likely. And probably one of their elite pitchers, one of the elite infielders that they have in the minors right now. Yeah. I don't think that's a good deal.
No.
As much.
Just because of his contract. And
the fact that he's injury prone.
He is, yeah. He hasn't played a full season 2 years ago. He almost made it, but then he had the face when he took that ball right off the face.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year, what was it? A nagging injury that turned into him having to sit the rest of the year. But yeah, so like Miami's not even getting the full out of him, but like you say, yeah, we would have to give up Polanco, who would have been a loss, but knowing that Stanton's probably only going to stay for like a year and a half, we'd have to make a move.
The only way that trade would make sense is one, like Zach said, if the price was lower.
Yeah.
But two, like back, you know. It wasn't a win now situation. Now the Pirates are in a situation where they
have to win the division.
Yeah, and they need
no
to
choice.
If they're gonna go to a World Series, it's gonna be now.
Yeah, Listen. Andrew McCutchen's contract is up in 2018, so they have between now and 2018 to win a World Series, or else that window is closed. Because when you don't have Andrew McCutchen on this team, the window is not there. Because even if you bring up a Willie Garcia, who's on the 40-man roster, who is a young talent. Nowhere near Andrew McCutchen's status. He's by far one of the best players in the majors. If you lose him, the window closes. No matter how much talent, pitching, hitting you have, he needs to be the guy that leads them to the World Series. And if he's there, that's when they have their chance. So they have 3 years. They have 2016, 2017, and 2018. Possibly only next year and the year after that. If 2018, by midseason, they're not where they want to be, they could look to trade him at the trading deadline.
The biggest thing I have right now is consistency in the infield. This year you switched out a lot of guys. You had a lot of guys playing different positions. So if they can have Walker, they can have Gong, they can have Harrison, and they can have a first baseman, whoever it be, Alvarez right now, they need to play every day. Consistency is such a big thing in baseball. You need to get at bats. You need to have consistency. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
for guys to switch out the way they did, especially late in the season, that can't be a recipe for success, especially if you want to win a division. So they need to fill guys into spots that they're going to be able to play every day in. And I think that starts with getting a first baseman that you're really comfortable with that can perform on any given day, not just hit a home run here and there.
I think that we have to make sure that we acknowledge the fact that these prospects that they have are at these key positions that you guys are talking about, and they are in AAA. They could have come up this past season if they really wanted to. Josh Bell is a first baseman now. He's been playing very well. He's hitting very well. He's a power bat like Pedro, and he's a switch hitter.
Bringing it up.
So if Pedro Alvarez was gone, no matter who you got in return, you can insert Josh Bell, at least in spring training. If that didn't work out in spring training, see if you could bring in an outside source for the first month or so until Josh Bell, finds himself and gets back up into the majors. Then at shortstop or second, you have Alan Hansen, who is also at AAA right now. Alan Hansen, he made the International League All-Star team. He's a speed guy and a defensive guy. He's not really a power bat, but he's a consistent hitter. And for something that the Pirates would lose in Neil Walker and or Jordy Mercer, depending on how the infield is a little iffy right now, obviously. Yeah. So if you put two guys right there, you can deal with losing Walker and Alvarez at the same time, even including Mercer in one of those deals, because Gong, minimum recovery time, 2-8 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that would put him at spring.
Young.
That would put him at opening day to start, and he would be at short, maybe Hansen at second, and then Josh Harrison at third base, and Josh Bell at first base. I'd be okay with that opening day.
Nice young infield.
Right. And again, you have these really talented young pitchers. You see how the Mets have rode staff of five.
Harvey, DeGrom.
Yeah, like 25 and under guys, and they rode them all the way to the World Series. So I don't see there's any reason why that the Pirates can't do that. Yeah, sure, you lose A.J. Burnett.
Yeah, they're like, what do you think pitching-wise? What do you think the opening day rotation is going
to
consist of?
If I had to take a guess, it would be Gerrit Cole, opening day, Liriano, number two, and then depending on how it panned out, you would probably start with Charlie Morton, unfortunately. Or Jay Happ, because he is on the books for next year.
He's
probably Jay Happ. Probably Jay Happ at the three.
Morton.
And then you have your choice, because you have Charlie Morton. You have Charlie Morton, Jameson Taillon, and Tyler Glasnow.
And that's if
Taillon and Jeff
healthy,
Locke.
Yeah.
And Jeff Locke is an outside shot.
I think they're definitely going to probably ride Locke. But his boy won't be there anymore.
Right.
His mentor, Burnett, will not be there. I think Burnett had a lot to do with Locke getting the second chances, because most teams, Locke would have been gone. He would have been sent down. He would have been cut, DFA, whatever. But I think Burnett, his mentor, his boy, had a lot to do with him staying. I think Burnett talked to, obviously, Searidge and Hurdle and Huntington to keep him. But yeah, forgot about Locke. But I think they're gonna give Locke a chance more than they would Happ. But even though Happ has the numbers,
I disagree.
But Morton,
I
think it has to come down to Morton and Locke. And
I really disagree, because they proved that they were confident in Happ when they had him start, and they took Locke out of the rotation in the final weeks of this season.
Mm-hmm.
So I would put Happ comfortably at that three spot. Knowing
but
what
spring,
he's done,
spring training is gonna have to prove a lot too.
Well, I mean, what he did in the stretch.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was
the
phenomenal.
Pirates' best pitcher besides Liriano.
If Cole wouldn't have pitched, like if he wouldn't have been able to go,
yeah,
the wild card
game, it
would have
been Happ.
It probably would have been Happ.
Would have been Happ.
Because Liriano wouldn't have been able to go. So, yeah, when you can come get traded
and
prove
think,
yourself like that,
I think that the experience that Cole went through personally, I think that will help him in the long run, overcoming adversity, because, you know, I mean, everyone thought, hey, maybe he can throw a no-hitter. You were the one that said he would throw a no-hitter.
What, me? No.
Yeah,
no way.
Yeah.
No way I said that.
Yeah, Sam said on the air that Gerrit Cole would throw a no-hitter. That did definitely not happen. First batter of the game that was broken up.
I don't want to talk about it.
But, yeah, like I said, barring some freak injury, I mean, Taillon and the other Glasnow, they've been hurt, right? They've both had Tommy John surgery. But if you have those guys at the beginning of the year and you can at least gauge them, you can even start with a six-man rotation at the start with Locke as the sixth guy, or even Joe Blanton as the sixth guy. You have a lot of options at pitching, and I really like coming into this past year, I was not confident in the Pirates pitching staff. But now with Liriano's resurgence, Cole looks like he's on the road to becoming a really true number one
Burnett
ace pitcher.
Pitched a lot better than everybody thought he would
right.
be in his last year.
I mean, at least in the start.
Yeah, second half wasn't so strong.
Now you're gonna roll with Cole, Liriano, Happ, and a combination of Glasnow, Taillon, and Locke, and I think that's what they're gonna go with starting in this season. I'm perfectly fine with that because Glasnow and Taillon are guys that have really good stuff,
and Cole's the leader now.
Cole was the leader.
He would be the leader.
Besides
Liriano,
yeah.
I guess you can have like be the leaders. They'll co-assist each other, but
sure.
And Cole's young, and he's already the leader of a pitching staff.
When we come back, we'll talk more about the Pirates' offseason needs and what it's going to look like coming up in the 2016's MLB season. It's kind of weird to say already. World Series kicks off underway. Mets at Royals.
Royals up 1-0.
Royals up 1-0
really?
Already.
Unless it
what
changed.
Inning is it?
First inning.
Hmm. Well.
It was what might have changed.
Yeah, we'll give you constant updates on that.
Inside
Sports
the park
Talk in the Berg.
What?
Wow. Inside the park home run.
Inside the park home run.
Was it probably Dyson or
Alcides Escobar?
Escobar.
You heard it here first.
Heard it here first. Well, they probably didn't hear it here first.
No.
When we come back, Sports Talk in the Berg, and we'll get more into the Steelers talk. That should be fun. Come on back, Sports Talk in the Berg, RMU
Landry
Radio,
Jones
your campus,
Jones.
Your voice.
Pizza Di Casa is a proud sponsor of RMU Radio. Come in now for the RMU student specials. Get a 16-inch extra-large cut cheese pizza, along with either a 2-liter or 4 cans of the Pepsi product of your choice for $10.99. Add a whole regular hoagie or dozen wings and get it all for $17.99. Holding a group meeting? Get 4 extra-large cheese pizzas, along with the Pepsi product 2-liter of your choice, for $34.99. Call 412-262-2272. Pizza Di Casa. From our Di Casa to your Di Casa. Fresh and delicious. Join the RMU Political Science Club for a state senator debate on Wednesday, October 28th. Democratic candidate Heather Arnay and Republican candidate Guy Reschenthaler will debate at Robert Morse University from 7 to 8 p.m. in the TV studio. You can submit questions by using hashtag PA37Debate. Tickets are limited to Political Science Club members. If interested, please contact AXPST175 at mail.rmu.edu.
She said, don't you worry if I disappear. I told her I'm not really looking for another mistake. I called an old friend thinking that the trouble would wait. But then I jumped right in, a week later returned. I reckon she was only looking for a lover to burn. But I gave her my time for 2 or 3 nights. Then I put it on pause until the moment was right. I went away 4 months until our paths crossed again. She told me I was never looking for a friend. Maybe you could swing by my room around 10. Baby, bring the lemon and a bottle of gin. We'll be in between the sheets till the late a.m. Baby, if you wanted me, then you should have just said she's singing. Don't laugh when my love, that heart is so cold. All over my home, I don't wanna know that, babe. Don't laugh when my love, I told her she knows. Take aim and reload, I don't wanna know that, babe.
pizza. Only wanna see her. We drink away the days with a takeaway pizza. Before a text message was the only way to reach her. Now she's staying at my place and loves the way I treat her. Singing out Aretha all over the track like a feature. And never wants to sleep, I guess that I don't want to either. But me and her, we make money the same way. Four cities, two planes the same day. And those shows have never been what it's about. But maybe we'll go together and just figure it out. I'd rather put on a film with you and sit on the couch. But we should get on a plane or we'll be missing it now. Wish I'd have written it down, the way that things played out. When she was kissing him, how I was confused about. Now she should figure it out while I'm sat here singing. La, la, don't la, la, win my love. That heart is so cold. All over my own. I don't wanna know that. Don't die with my love. I told her she knows. Take aim and reload. I don't wanna know that, babe. On my hotel door, I don't even know if she knows what for. She was crying on my shoulder. I already told you, trust and respect is what we do this for. I never intended to be next, but you didn't need to take him to bed, that's all. And I never saw him as a threat. Until you disappeared with him to have sex, of course. It's not like we were both on tour. We were staying at the same hotel floor. And I wasn't looking for a promise or commitment. But it was never just fun and I thought you were different. This is not the way you realize what you wanted. It's a bit too much too late if I'm honest. And all this time, God knows I'm singing. Don't die with my love. That heart is so cold. All over my own. I don't wanna know that, babe. Don't die with my love. I told her she knows. Take aim and reload. I don't wanna know that, babe. Don't die with my love. That heart is so cold. All over my own. I don't wanna know that, babe.
What's Your campus, your voice, your Colonials. RMU Radio is the home for men's basketball.
Stewart in transition, a mini throws one down over JoJo Cooper. Put him on a poster.
Men's hockey.
For Zach Lynch, he's going to go for the net. Can they make it four? He does!
And RMU football. Listen online at rmuradio.com or on the Century Media app. Your Colonials play right here on RMU Radio.
Oh, wow, that was awkward. Sports Talk in the Berg, your campus, your voice. I accidentally hit the play button again for that promo.
I mean, just smooth. You know, smooth transition back in.
You know, it's I give, like, producers for real radio stations credit. This is hard,
I mean,
man.
You saw us try to run it, right?
I heard you guys try to run it, yeah.
Emphasis on try, so.
I mean, the first time I ran the board, it was hard. It was real difficult. Yeah. So I give you props for doing that.
That was all Colin.
Yeah, that way to go, Colin.
Hold your applause.
Another. If I had an applause button, I'd probably play it for you right
Thank
now.
Thank you.
We're just finishing up the Pirates talk really quick. One note that we wanted to make sure that we said was that Jay Happ is actually a free agent after this past season, after 2015. So they would need to sign him to another deal. He made $6.7 million in 2015. Safe to say he can make around that much, if not more, in the open market. So it pains me to say, but I don't think he's coming back. I really don't. But if the Pirates should get him back if they want to do what they want to do.
Could he be like a Burnett where you see him kind of go somewhere else, not play as well because you saw him struggle in Seattle? And maybe come back?
Actually, yeah. I mean, he's not as old as Burnett was when he left for the Phillies.
Yeah,
but
like
he's definitely it definitely sounds like that kind of situation maybe for perspiring.
I mean, because I would see him having no reason to not go back if he comes and has a bad year.
Oh yeah, yeah. I could definitely see that. Yeah. Switching gears, after the Pirates talk, the Pittsburgh Steelers suffered a brutal defeat to the 1-5 previously Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead.
I called it.
Okay.
Was that the only one that said we were going to lose?
I don't know. Yeah, all I said was that I would be interested to see how Landry Jones handled a defense preparing for him for an entire week.
Win.
I've had to hear this since Sunday. I've not heard the end of it. He's been so excited to go on the air and say I was right.
I brought it up once in class on Monday.
That's the first time you've been right about a score, though.
I mean, I still haven't been right,
yeah,
so.
Well, or about an outcome. I
always say, like I said before we, I think I said we'd beat Arizona. We won it.
I don't think so.
That was the first time I said we were going to lose.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, good for you, Ian. Round of applause. Good job, Ian. We're all proud of you. Well, what did you call him before, Landry Jones?
Laundry. Free, rookie. Laundry Jones. I got to explain that.
Yeah, sure.
So, Mikey and Big Bob on 96.1 Kiss in Pittsburgh, they go in the Facebook and they do it for Pirate season, now Steeler season.
Did you say the Facebook?
No. Did I?
Yeah, you did.
All right, continue. Facebook.
I'm sorry.
And they look for comments that people post about the Steelers that are totally inaccurate or just like goofy, and one was this isn't exact, but it was something like the Steelers need to get rid of that, or the Steelers lost because of that rookie Laundry Jones, and of course they said something like, well, he's not a rookie and his name is Landry,
right.
So So, yeah, I thought that funny. So I've been calling him Laundry Jones because someone botched his name on Facebook like that and thought his name was really Laundry.
Like spelled like Laundry?
Yeah, like L-A-U-N-D-R-Y. Yeah.
Maybe they just maybe it was autocorrect. I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt.
That probably would be autocorrected.
Yeah,
that's a word.
I have nothing to say on this.
I am going to give that person the benefit of the doubt.
And then the other ones were fire Tomlin, fire Tomlin, get rid of Tomlin.
Where are the days of
fire
Todd Haley?
And then it's like, folks, Tomlin's not going anywhere. Steelers are loyal to their coaches. Yeah, he's not good. If anything, it would be get rid of Haley.
Yeah.
But Haley hasn't been necessarily awful. And then they were saying how the defense was awful and how we should have kept LeBeau.
The defense has been
spectacular. But our defense has been bad. Our defense was going downhill with LeBeau. That's what they said. I listened to it yesterday. And they're like, did you see the statistics of LeBeau's defense the past few years? Like, it was time for him to go and bring in someone new, which they did in Keith Butler, promoted him.
Sure.
So, like, they were just saying how, like, people want LeBeau back and fire Tomlin everything. Yeah.
Well, see, that's why we're on the radio. Well, not technically the radio. And we are talking and they are not.
Yeah, and they're not.
That's the difference. I don't know what people thought was going to happen.
Another bad team beat us. Like, that was my biggest thing. But the Steelers just went down a step with having Jones in as quarterback.
Two things happened that resulted in that loss. One, they weren't able to get the running game going right away, forcing Landry Jones to throw the ball for a couple times, which his first couple throws were right on the money, and I was thinking, okay, maybe this is a good sign for things to come. Maybe they won't have to get rid of Landry Jones. Maybe they can actually ride him once Roethlisberger gets done in, 2020, 5 years from now, after that deal's up. But, and then you saw.
Yeah, not so much.
Here's what I figured out. Landry Jones, the reason why he struggles sometimes is because whenever he's back in the pocket and there's a clean pocket, no one around him, he can deliver a nice ball. He can deliver an on-time, clean pass to whoever he's throwing to. And I think you saw that was mainly what you saw against Arizona, because Arizona's front seven isn't very good. They have good corners and they have a good secondary, but their front seven is average. So Jones constantly had a clean pocket to throw out of. Then Kansas City came in. Actually, Pittsburgh came into Kansas City, but nevertheless. And the front seven of the Chiefs were penetrating. We're getting very good penetration on the Steelers offensive line, forcing Jones not even like he wasn't rushed or anything. It was just the thought of the pocket collapsing made Landry Jones nervous, and you could see when the pocket started to shrink, he started like getting frantic and he was just looking for somewhere to dump the ball, and that's where the inaccuracies come from, and that's where the rushed throws and the mistakes happen, like that one interception, the bloop pass he tried to throw over the middle and into triple coverage
off,
yeah. That was one time. That was one time where I thought, okay, that's when it clicked. I was like, okay, that's the problem. He doesn't handle pressure very well.
Good old Landry Jones.
Landry Jones.
Bubba Bub. And I think his favorite target is Bryant.
Oh, yeah, by far.
Definitely. I don't think he likes throwing the Brown.
Brown had a really good game.
Yeah, Brown got good action.
Brown was doing some stuff.
When in doubt, he loves going to Bryant.
But Bryant seemed to disappear for about two quarters until the third. In between the first two passes that Bryant caught in the first quarter, the very first possession, to the third quarter when he caught that touchdown.
That potato pass or catch.
I mean, yeah. Bryant was nowhere to be found in the second quarter and the majority of the third quarter. And then, again, in the fourth quarter, he didn't really do much.
Yeah.
But Brown... Jones and Brown constantly had some. They had some good chemistry working against Kansas City. But the big story is Roethlisberger is finally activated on the Steelers roster. He is
probable
to start against Cincinnati. And what does that mean for the Steelers?
I think that means a win. I think that they're at home, which is huge, because I think if they went into Cincinnati with Roethlisberger coming off an injury, they weren't going to win. But they're so much better with him in, so efficient. And I know that, you know, you still don't really know what you're going to see from Roethlisberger, because he's typically not comes back from an injury.
Yeah. As has been documented.
And he's going to be a little ginger with that knee.
But we got you know, there's good players around him now. You know, you have Le'Veon Bell
to do everything when he comes back.
If you can get Le'Veon Bell going, which I think is going to be key, where he, Roethlisberger can make the plays that he can make, and the defense holds Cincinnati to 20 points. I think that's a fair, because you can't sit there and say they're going to shut out Cincinnati, because it's not going to happen the way they're playing.
We can talk about the defense all we want, but again, not very good tackling on the secondary especially. And the defensive line wasn't getting as much penetration as they did against Arizona, which is part of the problem last few drives in the Kansas City game, where they went down and they scored. Not to mention the Landry Jones interceptions, but that's a different story.
Yeah, to go off that, I don't think it's going to be more Ben Roethlisberger coming back, as in the defense needs to continue what they did the 2 weeks before this week against Kansas City.
Yeah.
They only allowed 53.5 yards per game rushing and no touchdowns in their previous two wins coming into Kansas City. And then Charkandrick West. He goes off for 110 yards. Jamal Charles is out. That should be basically Kansas City's running game, the death of Kansas City's running game.
He had 21 rushing attempts before this in his career.
And Alex Smith wasn't really doing anything. He's just typical Alex Smith, you know, short passes.
That's all Alex Smith
down the
does.
Field.
He's a I'm trying to think of the right wording here. He just keeps their offense going. He doesn't do anything spectacular. He's more just of a game.
He's a game manager.
Yeah, game man. That's where
Alex Smith
game
is
manager.
A prototype.
He's
game
not gonna
manager.
Make the like stunning top 10 passes or plays, but he's just going to just be that clock manager and just do the
and
little
from a Cincinnati Bengals fans perspective. I want to hear what your thoughts are on this matchup. With the Steelers fully healthy on the offensive side, minus Pouncey, and the defense playing above expectations. I mean, granted, this offense with Roethlisberger last year scored 25 points per game, which was fifth best in the National Football League. So,
I really think it's going to come down to each team's defenses.
Cincinnati has the edge, is what you're saying.
I mean, I agree with that.
To an extent, but really, done a great job getting pressure on offenses, and then he was hurt this past week, didn't play, and that really, you saw the Steelers take a step back on defense. So if he's healthy this game, they said he might be limited right now, but hopefully by the time Sunday comes around, he can play most of the snaps. I really think that has something to do with, you know, stopping the run game, because Cincinnati has two great backs in Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill, and they're both good out of the backfield. Also, the secondary needs the key on AJ Green. That's a given. And Eifert's tough as a tight end. There's really Cincinnati has a lot of playmakers. But if the Steelers can prevent Andy Dalton from having a regular season Andy Dalton game, then I really think that you can have possibly an overtime game. Cincinnati's defense, they're, I'd say, decent all around. They have good corners. They have a decent linebacking corps, decent pass rushing corps. But the Steelers' offense is, I think, above and beyond what the Bengals' defense is. So I really think it's going to be kind of a high-scoring game. But I do see Pittsburgh pulling this one out.
But you think that when they play in Cincinnati, home team's going to win in both cases?
Yes. Cincinnati, I think, has an edge in this game as a team, but I feel like Pittsburgh's going to come out with more of a chip on their shoulder. Ben Roethlisberger's back. Cincinnati's kind of relaxed right now at 6-0. They don't have losing this game at Pittsburgh isn't going to have much as much of an effect on them as Pittsburgh losing in Pittsburgh to Cincinnati.
Right.
And back to Eifert, we've seen Steelers D struggle against tight ends.
True.
So if Eifert can get going, I think he could be the factor in a Cincinnati win.
Yeah, right. But I think we're comparing apples to oranges if you're considering the difference between Rob Gronkowski and Tyler Eifert.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Yeah, they're two different size
builds. It's the same beast, but
Gronkowski
a different animal.
Gronkowski is just an animal.
Gronkowski is a completely different entity all in itself. I think it's going to come down to special teams. Antonio Brown has yet to make a I don't want to say spectacular, but I'll just say substantial return.
Eye-opening.
Yeah, yeah. Something.
I think they're going to pull him from that eventually. Don't
maybe.
Really know who they're going to put in there. There's some options, but I think just one, hasn't been doing a whole lot spectacular-wise on his returns, and two, keeping him healthy. You don't want him to take a nasty hit where you've seen someone returns. I think they'd rather – like, they don't want him to get hurt on a punt return.
I want to go back to the tight end thing because I have a statistic here. The Steelers have given up 465 yards and 6 touchdowns to tight ends this season. So you're giving up, you know, a touchdown a game to tight ends. And I know, you know, 3 of those were Rob Gronkowski.
Sure.
But they're the third worst team in the league against tight ends.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's – and I think that draws back to their secondary struggles, and I want to talk about that right now.
Yeah.
Because the secondary, the front seven of the Steelers has been absolutely incredible, hence the low rushing yards against total and the yards per game.
Yeah.
But if a situation happens like it did in Kansas City where the front seven can't get to the quarterback as quickly as the secondary would need, then you have – a much better quarterback in Andy Dalton firing two much better receivers and a receiving core in general because you have A.J. Green and you have Tyler Eifert to boot. And that's two more than the Kansas City Chiefs had, honestly, in terms of star power. So I don't know what there is to say about this secondary other than the fact that now Antoine Blake is hurt. He has a concussion. Cortez Allen is hurt, even though he was trash before he even got hurt. You have your third string safety coming in the game, Robert Golden, to start along with
Taylor's
Mike Mitchell.
Come back.
Just
no. Let's not even joke about that. I don't want that to happen.
And just think about what an utter failure the draft was this year in regards to safety, because you had Duran Grant, who's already off the team,
yep,
and you have Golson, yep, who is injured, out for the year.
Yeah,
you know,
not the best. Not the best they
I
could
mean,
have done.
It literally couldn't get – because they don't have them. They're gone.
Landon Collins was the first safety taken in that draft,
yep,
and I really wanted the Steelers to trade up to get him. But Bud Dupree has proven serviceable in these first few.
What is it, three
yeah,
sacks?
Yeah, which is more than Jones and Cameron Hayward got in their rookie years.
Yeah.
And you definitely have to be happy with his productivity so
oh,
far
yeah,
due to his preseason and him being a raw talent coming out of the
yep,
draft anyway.
Jarvis Jones is probably going to be gone after this year. I think this is the last year in his rookie deal. I think he's gone. And you need – but other than that, they don't really have any good linebackers, even though they've taken linebackers in the first round of the last three drafts. I mean, you have Arthur Motes starting at the other outside linebacker.
You don't like Motes?
I think we could do better than Motes.
The fact that you laughed right after saying that question, I think, answers it, says it all.
I like his last name.
I mean, isn't Timmons considered a linebacker? I mean,
he's more of an inside. He's a middle linebacker. Him and Shazier are the middle linebackers. Shazier's
he's healthy.
Now he is. We'll see how long that lasts. When he's healthy, he's really good. He's really fast. He has really good angles, and he can really he can close a gap on a ball carrier.
When it comes to covering tight ends, that's who you want on.
You need someone like Shazier or Dupree to capitalize on that. But they haven't been able to do that because week one, they didn't know what Bud Dupree was going to bring, so they didn't start him. And week one, Shazier was still hurt. last week, Shazier was, again, not 100%. So I think this week, if they put Shazier or Dupree on that position of covering Tyler Eifert for the majority of the time, it can negate some of his abilities. Tyler Eifert is probably faster than both of those guys. But the key in stopping a tight end like that is to get physical and to bump him at the line so that he can't get off the line of scrimmage as quickly as he would want to. So the timing would be thrown off.
And that's something Pittsburgh's talked about. You know, they said that with Gronkowski, which didn't
pay off. Yeah. They talked about bumping Rob Gronkowski on the line of scrimmage before the week one. And then it turns out they just forgot he was even on the field for one of the plays when he scored a touchdown. So that worked out great.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have to see it now, don't you?
Yeah. I've said it a bunch of times before, but I'll say it again. They need to address the cornerback situation. When you have a guy who started on the practice squad last year as your starting outside cornerback and Ross Cockrell, there's a problem that needs to be fixed. There's a problem that needs to be solved.
I thought we were brilliant when we went and got Boykin. I was like, that was a good deal.
He hasn't played.
I know.
How bad? I'm about to go off for 2 minutes. How bad could you possibly be in practice that after training for you in the offseason because they were so desperate that they needed a cornerback that they didn't have? How desperate could you – how bad could you have been in practice that they said, you know what, we're going to roll with Cockrell. You're fine. We don't need you. And he hasn't played more than 5 snaps at the outside. I don't know why. William Gay's even hurt, and he was their best cornerback, which I never thought I would say coming into this season, or coming into last season, that Will Gay was going to be the number one corner on the Steelers. My goodness. If I have to hear about one more Steelers person say, oh, we have pretty good linebackers, I don't care. This is a passing league. You need good outside corners, and you need safeties. Shamarco Thomas project failed. It's yet to be determined how the rest of their recent draft picks have been are going to turn out. But I mean, if they keep on this path, they need to draft a high profile cornerback. I just hope it's sooner rather than later.
Well, here's something that'll make you feel really good right now. This was 7 hours ago.
Sure.
Mike Tomlin said on quarterback Brandon Boykin, he'd say, quote unquote, I'm comfortable with him if called upon, which now may be this weekend because William Gay is injured.
So it looks like
Boykin is going to get the start, is what they're saying.
I will say this. Boykin got his shot after William Gay got hurt in that Kansas City game. So maybe Brandon Boykin will come to the rescue of this secondary and be able to stop AJ Green. Not putting my hopes up.
I mean, it's him or nobody else.
It would be Cockrell. Oof. Cockrell going up against AJ Green. Look for AJ Green to get at least 200 yards and 2 touchdowns.
So start him on
my
fantasy team this weekend?
Yeah.
All right.
Against Ross Cockrell? Yeah. Predictions real fast before you go to a break.
Steelers are going to win 28-24.
I'll go Steelers 34-31.
Cincinnati 30-17.
Now you're in the losing mode, and you just want to ride the losing trail until they win again, and then you're going to say,
I picked a loss after a win, but I think it's going to be a very disappointing game.
But
Steelers
these are the
fans.
Games that the Steelers usually win. After the disappointing awful team
and
that they lose to the week before.
And apparently it's not going to be great weather, according to my weather app. It says it's supposed to be raining. So,
well,
that
if
also
we,
games
if,
the Steelers like, too, for Pittsburgh. So
if we had to take a choice, I would say please give the awful weather, because that would just give Le'Veon Bell more time to carry the ball. And the Steelers' defense is better at stopping the run than the pass. So I would say that would help them.
I'm obviously hoping that my prediction's not right. But on an analyst perspective.
An analyst's perspective.
He's being unbiased. See? I'm proud of him.
I'm thinking it's going to be a 30-17 loss.
30-17. So you're saying the Bengals are going to go 7-0.
Woof. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think they're going to stay undefeated.
My question is, why do you think that they're going to lose?
I just think that, obviously, I'm not giving much faith in our defense. Offense putting up 17 points is...
But it's at home, though.
It is at home.
They did stop the Cardinals.
They did.
To 15 points.
They did. You're not wrong. But...
I know. But or 13 points, rather.
I just think...
So he was wrong.
13 points. I'm not wrong about that.
I don't know. Maybe it won't be 30. Maybe it'll be maybe... I think it's definitely going to be between 24 and 27.
But this is also a comment on the Pittsburgh offense. You don't think that with Roethlisberger back that you're going to see production come back?
Especially to Brown.
I am giving us 17 points.
Yeah, but like they put up 17
Jones
points.
Scored
with
17 laundry. Points.
He did.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's going to be a game that's going to be another disappointing game.
Do you think that the Steelers will ever hold a lead in this game?
Early.
Early in the game, you'll think the whole.
I think,
and they're gonna blow it in the end, like the Ravens game.
They may get a 10-7 lead, early field goal, touchdown. Cincinnati picks it up.
I think the struggles that Andy Dalton has had against the Steelers. I don't think anyone is talking about, and that I think that can play a big factor in this game. I mean, sure, Andy Dalton has been really good this year so far. But he's yet to prove himself against Pittsburgh. And until he does that, I still have to ride the Steelers. I'm going Steelers. Ooh. Steelers. 27-24 and a last-second field goal by Boswell.
He has 7-for-7 right now.
50-yarder.
At Heinz Field.
At Heinz Field. In the open end. He's going to win the game for him.
Boswell for MVP then.
Maybe. Oh, my goodness. Like, we talked about this a bunch of times before. Like, the state that they were in with kickers, I mean, they were ready to just sign any guy that can make a 30-yarder.
They did sign any guy who could just make a 30-yarder.
But if had he missed that field goal, he might have just – they probably would have just said, all right, just go. Just leave.
Boswell's kicking better than –
Yeah, walked off the field like LeGarrette Blount.
Boswell's kicking better than, like, Adam Vinatieri right now, who I thought was going to be a good fantasy guy for me. No, because
I mean he's like what, 100 now?
He can't even get extra points because his team can't even score a single touchdown. But
that's a whole other problem though.
Boswell, he is surprising because he's down the middle. He looks like a veteran kicker.
Kick it straight. That's all he's doing.
And he's
kick it hard, kick it straight.
And but even on the when he's offline on the far hatch hash marks, he's looks stellar. He looks solid. He goes in with confidence and he kicks the ball and he gets the points. He's doing his job, and did I expect that from him? No, I expect him to be better than Scobie, but I didn't really expect that a whole lot. And I think we should keep – well, obviously, we're going to probably keep Sweezum if he comes back healthy. But,
will they?
Trade Sweezum.
I don't
trade
know.
Him.
If Boswell keeps up the way he is, not missing a field goal yet, then I think there's a good chance they will keep Boswell. But I think it's going to be next training camp, next preseason, it's going to be a battle of the kickers.
Battle of the kickers for the Steelers.
If Boswell keeps up. If Boswell decreases in his accuracy and his kicking, then, yeah, they're going to go squeeze him. But, yeah, that's my rant, my prediction.
And we'll keep you updated on that next week when we come back, and we'll see how our predictions fit. What were you guys talking about over there? What was going on?
Draft picks for the Steelers. We're looking at mock drafts.
Sports Illustrated's latest mock draft has them taking a corner out of LSU, Tre'Davious White, but then another site called My NFL Draft, which I've looked at for the past few years. They've been decently accurate. They have them taking Scoobie Wright, a linebacker out of Arizona. Who
another linebacker, Zach. One more.
That's
he's the missing piece we need.
I mean, he
lost
has talent. Jarvis he has
Jones
a great talent,
was.
But
he's
I
so good.
The corner.
Oh, no, not another linebacker. Please, please, Kevin Colbert, don't do it. Don't
RMU,
do it.
RMU alum.
Yeah, show some pride here.
Oh, my goodness. Kevin Colbert, if you're listening, please, I'm begging you, man, don't draft another linebacker in the first round.
You
got lucky with Dupree, maybe, but please, I'm begging you.
From your fellow Colonials, please take
for your fellow Colonials, this is our send-off to you. From your fellow Colonials, please, please don't draft another linebacker. Just draft someone in the secondary. Safety, corner.
Right now,
someone.
There is three corners available in the first round, or that SI predicts to go in the first round, and that is Tre'Davious White,
yeah,
and then Vernon Hargreaves, the third out of Florida. He's been a talent since day one there.
Sure.
And then the third is, I think.
What are you?
They're saying Cardale Jones, 31st to the Broncos.
I mean, when was that updated?
Yeah, October 13th.
That's why.
Yeah. All right.
That was before the Penn State game. That was before Cardale Jones got replaced by JT Barrett.
The third corner, which is after they have the Steelers taking White, is Kendall Fuller out of Virginia Tech, and he has a couple brothers that have been successful.
Yeah.
He's been out all this year. He's injured.
Yes, so
he is injured.
If he has a good, if he's back for the combine, I don't.
Oh, I
sure
hate, I hate basing stuff on the combine.
I agree, but
I
a lot
it.
Of it does get based off of that. So
it's awful. Well, oh my, when we have our combine
it's,
show,
it's,
my goodness, I'm just gonna scream.
To Tyler
it's
Boyd.
Still very early to where
he's used
these
to the
predictions
atmosphere
right
of Pittsburgh,
now,
but he's not because Boyd's gonna go away before we.
Tyler Boyd's going to go top 10.
And there's no reason for us to get him.
There isn't.
There isn't. So, yeah.
Convert him to a safety?
That was just my, like, funny comment.
Put all the wide receivers at cornerback and safety. Have D'Antonio Brown play corner. See
I mean,
if he
can
do
probably
it.
Do better.
He can probably do better. Okay, that's I want to end it there because I'm about to lose. I'm going to lose my mind. Next week, we'll same time, same place, Army Radio, your campus, your voice, Sports Talk in the Berg. Oh, boy. Here we go.
Is a proud sponsor of RMU Radio. Come in now for the RMU student specials. Get a 16-inch extra large cut cheese pizza along with either a 2-liter or 4 cans of the Pepsi product of your choice for $10.99. Add a whole regular hoagie or dozen wings and get it all for $17.99. Holding a group meeting? Get 4 extra large cheese pizzas along with the Pepsi product 2-liter of your choice for $34.99. Call 412-262-2272. Pizza Di Casa. From our Di Casa to your Di Casa. Fresh and delicious.
Join the RMU Political Science Club for a state senator debate on Wednesday, October 28th. Democratic candidate Heather Arnay and Republican candidate Guy Reschenthaler will debate at Robert Morse University from 7 to 8 p.m. in the TV studio. You can submit questions by using hashtag PA37Debate. Tickets are limited to Political Science Club members. If interested, please contact AXPST175 at mail.rmu.edu.
It's a little blurry.